Hey, salut tout le monde! Comment ça va? Chez Xenob, ça fait longtemps.
Ouais, en direct.
De Vinilia? Vinilia ouais, Trois-Rivières.
Boutique de Steph.
Direct en haut du Xenob. Hein, on n'est pas trop loin de chez nous.
Ben, un gros merci à lui qui occupe la majeure partie du son de ton projet, des trucs comme ça. Donc, tant qu'à être dans ses locaux, puis. Un petit shout-out pour lui. Épisode, je sais plus c'est quoi le numéro, c'est pas grave.
Numéro 5, si je me trompe pas. Hein?
6, je sais plus, c'est pas grave.
6. Numéro 6. On est déjà en
6. J'ai tellement 6, mais. Bref, épisode un peu spécial. Le band, les deux des membres du band sont anglophones. Une personne qui parle français et anglais. Fait qu'on on patine les deux langues, puis on fait du back and forth. C'est le fun, c'est drôle. On parle pas super bien, on parle super bien, on parle moyen. Des fois c'est compréhensible, des fois ça l'est moins. C'est pas grave. Merci encore pour le putain festif qui a encore nourri nos artistes. 2339 Rue Royale. Allez voir sur Facebook, allez voir les liens en commentaire.
Merci le Café Bar Xenob de nous accueillir. Prochain show. Le 21, Feu Futur Moi et Macro Silix. Le 22, Dogo Suicide et Hit Hit Anita. Et le 23, en 5 à 7, le trio Nelly Gun.
Sinon, ben, on vous invite encore à partager, liker, faire un petit pouce, commenter, des questions. Bref, n'importe quoi ce que vous faites qui est en lien avec la page sur les internets. Ça fait du trafic, c'est bon pour nous. Sinon, ben, merci. Bonne écoute!
Bonne écoute!
Bon, ben, parce que c'est un bon moment pour partir, ça.
Oui, ça vient commencer.
Okay, mais ce soir, premier enregistrement de 2025. Jet, Sam, t'es content? C'est rare que j'ai un band. On reçoit un band qui est dans un style de musique que j'apprécie beaucoup, qui vient pas jouer souvent aux Xenob. Puis avant de commencer ça, je pense que j'essaie de vous introduire, mais avant ça, je tiens à dire à l'auditoire, deux des membres parlent principalement anglais, donc on va s'amuser aujourd'hui à parler plusieurs langues, franglais, on va
bon switcher québécois. De langue,
ouais, c'est ça, ça va être le fun, c'est un test qu'on fait, mais qu'on l'écoute, si on voit que c'est bizarre, ben on va revenir à une langue la prochaine fois, mais gars, on va essayer ça comme ça. Avant de commencer, je vais juste laisser les membres s'introduire, qu'est-ce qu'ils font dans le band, c'est quoi un peu... Allez-y.
Moi, c'est Neon. Je suis la bassiste de Jet Sam. Un petit peu de back vocal. Mais ouais, je joue la grosse guitare. Puis c'est ça.
I'm Jack. I am the vocalist of Jet Sam. That's all I do.
I'm Evelyn. I play the drums.
Fuck yeah.
Avant qu'on commence, vite, je peux te tutoyer?
Oui.
Tu parles de guitare, mais il y a une subtilité, je pense, avec l'instrument. Hein?
C'est vraiment. En fait, je joue de la basse, mais ma basse, elle sort dans 3 amplis, dont une guitare. Donc, j'ai mes hautes fréquences de guitare dans un ampli. J'ai une grosse distorsion de basse dans un ampli. J'ai une basse clean, que c'est vraiment juste un bottom dans un autre ampli. Pas de git.
C'est ça que j'allais dire, vous me l'avez volé.
Pas de git, pas de compromis.
C'est partout sur votre site web, sur votre page Facebook, c'est malade. J'adore ça.
J'oublie le nom de la personne qui est sortie avec, qui nous a donné ça. Mais je m'excuse si tu écoutes ça, je me rappelle plus de ton nom. Mais c'était vraiment... Maintenant, on l'utilise partout.
Je dis ça parce que moi, bon, c'est pas... J'ai jamais... vu ça, ce setup-là, à part juste dans des styles de musique qui bûchent un peu, là, je veux dire, je pense que le groupe, puis là, pardonnez-moi les gars de dire ça, mais le groupe le plus soft, je pense qu'il fait un setup semblable, c'est Rouge Pompier, là, avec une guide remplie de bass, mais je pense que c'est le plus, comme j'ai dit soft, en guillemets, ben, ça reste la musique difficile à écouter pour les gens qui écoutent, monsieur, madame, tout le monde, la musique un peu plus populaire, là, j'essaie de comme inclure tout le monde dans mon discours, puis pas essayer deux personnes avec son des styles de musique, mais pourquoi j'aborde ce sujet-là, c'est juste parce que je trouve ça intéressant de parler vraiment du style que vous faites en premier. Puis avant d'arriver là, le style que vous faites, ça vient d'où le band en tant que tel? Parce que moi, j'ai pas mot dire que tu tombes pas dans le power violence. Power violence? Encore, je sais pas comment vous décrivez ça.
Power violence.
Mais tu tombes pas dans le power violence, je pense, de jour au lendemain. Là. Tu peux pas dire du jour au lendemain, moi, je me pars un band de power violence. Ça vient de quelque chose. Ça vient soit d'une histoire d'autres bands avant, un petit statut. Vous comprenez où je m'en vais? Mm-hmm. Arrêtez de parler, je vous laisse évoluer. Donnez-moi chacun votre avis, en fait.
Ouais. Pour moi, j'ai jamais été dans des bands aussi avec ça. C'était plus soit metal, soit punk. C'est vraiment quand Jack et moi, on était en voiture, puis on écoutait Cloud Rat.
Vous aviez d'autres, est-ce que vous coupez avant tout, mais vous aviez d'autres bands avant, ça fait longtemps, une carrière musicale avec d'autres bands qui ont touré un peu?
Ouais, quand même. Avant, j'ai été dans un band qui s'appelait Rattus Rattus, comme, et un band qui s'appelait Mad Men Mine il y a vraiment longtemps. Mais jamais comme bassiste, c'était tout le temps plus comme vocaliste. Mais ouais, on était en voiture, on écoutait Cloud Rat. Pour ceux qui connaissent pas, ben très très comme plus grindcore, que je dirais screamo grind.
Grindcore.
And
grindcore.
Et on s'en allait faire une amie à moi qui jouait du drum dans un band avant, nous donnait des cours de drum, puis on essayait de la convaincre de partir un band avec nous, Sarah. Puis on était juste comme, we want to do a power violence band with no guitar. Je veux juste jouer de la basse. J'ai jamais joué de basse dans un band ou de basse tout court. Je jouais tout le temps juste la guitare, des vocales. Puis finalement, ça fonctionnait pas. Mais on a rencontré quelqu'un d'autre, notre ami Wawa, quand on a commencé le band. J'étais allé en fait y acheter un drum qu'il avait juste réparé. Il travaille dans un endroit de recyclage, Reciborg.
Toi, dans le fond, je vous coupe encore, mais. Dans le fond, du moment que la personne t'a dit non, tu dis bon, ben n'importe quel autre drummer que je croise, j'ai dit bon, on part un band de Power Violence. Oh, oui.
C'était vraiment la même journée. On est allé chercher le drum kit pour l'apporter dans notre jam space. Puis Wawa, il était comme ah, ouais, c'est une vraiment bonne idée ça. Qu'est-ce que vous faites dans une heure, genre? Puis il est venu, puis on a écrit deux tunes cette journée-là. Puis c'est devenu
Jackson. Puis à l'époque, vous étiez à Montréal, parce que tu venais de Montréal, mais tu m'as dit qu'il y avait une petite subtilité par rapport à ça.
C'est ça. Aucun de nous vient de Montréal, mais le band vient de Montréal.
Donc vous vivez à Montréal, mais vous n'êtes pas originaire de Montréal.
C'est ça.
OK.
C'est ça. Donc c'est ça. J'ai tout le temps aimé la musique vraiment heavy. Tout le temps aimé vraiment beaucoup de grind. Mais plus crust, je dirais. Moi, crust punk, c'était plus mon approche vers là.
Je t'expliquerai les différences tantôt.
mais ça
aucune c'est... connaissance là-dedans. Don't know jack shit.
Fait que ça, c'est moi. I think you both understood the question at this point.
We jammed with Wawa that first time, and by the end of that band practice, we'd written our first song, and then by the end of the next band practice, we'd written the second song, and then the third, and then the fourth, and then we just started playing shows, and we wanted to call ourselves a power violence band, because of, you know, bands like Man is the Bastard and up to like Vile Intent, which is one of my favorite bands, and then
came from Montreal then. Violent Intent, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're pals of ours.
A really OG band.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to call ourselves a power violence band because that was like the lineage that we wanted to put our band in. But we thought that people would not like us and our music, so like it was always like we were going to be a power violence band, and we made like stickers that said "Power Violence is for Lovers." That was just a joke that we would yell at each other during band practice. We thought people would be mad about it, but like it's gone super well.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, I found out there's a lot of meme and, you know, comedy in Power Violence.
Yeah.
You know, that reminded me of the story of PLF.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning, the band was like Pretty Little Flowers.
Yeah.
PLF that, and they changed the name because it wasn't, you know, not too serious, not enough serious. But, you know, there's a lot of joke in this kind of music. There's come, you know, I don't remember the band, but probably, you know, with the SpongeBob theme.
Yeah.
I don't remember the band, but, you know, there's a lot of thematic behind that.
Yeah, the mix of, like, meme imagery or, like, very... just like childish imagery,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Very heavy music is, yeah, like kind of integral.
Really geek too. There's
putting
a lot
like
of nerds.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
On the
you're a band que c'est juste des Ned Flanders. Je me souviens plus. Du fucking nom, là, mais j'ai écouté ça. Puis en plus, c'est bon. Tu sais, en plus, c'est bon.
Closer to us, there is Power Cup. They're playing like real.
Okili Dokili. Ah, je m'en souviens plus du nom.
So, just closer to us, there's Power Cup. They're playing like Renault Grind. Like, just grind about car construction, like building something and everything. So, that's kind of special about that, and that's why I like the style too. So.
Yeah.
And for finishing with the new, I just heard your new drummer. So
yeah, the new drummer.
So it's nice to finish with you because you can just.
My days are numbered. They burn through drummers, apparently in some mysterious sacrifice ritual. why power violence for me? I get that punk rock changed my life, so I feel like I don't. For me, I'm not picking which umbrella. There was an opening that was suggested through a mutual friend. I practice this type of vocabulary on my own, but I never got to like do it in a group. I grew up in a place called Cambridge, Ontario, which if people don't know, that's where the band Gobert comes from, who is also a two-piece bass and drum power violence band. And I learned how to play drums by watching Steve Fargas play, who also plays with Great Sabatini. I was playing with Big Pig One, and Cambridge, there was fuck all to do except like shitty cocaine and, you know, work at Tim Hortons and stuff. So when there was a little bit of a punk scene, it gave people something to do and like a window to the outside world. And, you know, there was always things that were like kind of chic or kind of like screamo. Well, not even screamo. It was more like the MCR type thing was like really cool then. So there was a lot of like. I don't like that band. They're whatever. People love that band. But there was a lot of like mediocre like representations of that. And then there was Gobert. So it was like, oh, there's like this thing where your scene doesn't have to be this like little bubble. It's actually like a global, because they were touring the States. They would bring other bands in. So for me, this, as soon as I heard their music, it reminded me of that. And then when they were like, hey, do you want to try playing drums for us, it was like, yeah, absolutely, yeah, like I already can hear what you're doing. And
but, I found out that that's kind of, you know, extreme music, but every, you know, little scene, there's less people in each town, but they found, you know, it's easier to reach each other in the world. So the scene is kind of really small, but in this world scale, it's like pretty big, because everybody know each other, everybody talk to each other, and I will switch fresh light now because I just talked to Neon, but you will understand really quick the question. Maintenant, quand on dit rapport power violence avec vous autres, mais mettons, là, pouvez-vous me décrire le genre aussi pour vous, c'est quoi? Parce que chaque personne qui écoute de la musique va décrire le power violence différemment, parce que tant qu'à moi, c'est un peu comme des cartes Pokémon. C'est des genres, c'est des styles, puis on se donne des balises avec ça. Mais, parce qu'on disait que Power Violence c'est un petit peu geek, puis il y avait des trucs humoristiques, mais il y a aussi beaucoup d'engagements politiques là-dedans, des engagements sociaux, c'est la musique qui marche pas pour rien, on veut créer des choses qu'on aime pas ou des choses qu'on veut dénoncer bien souvent. Fait que pour vous, le style de musique, principalement, c'est quoi? Pour l'auditoire qui connaît pas ça, qui voudrait découvrir c'est quoi Jet Sam, mettons, avant de l'écouter, mettons, qui peut juste savoir un petit peu c'est quoi la prochaine fois qu'il voit en show venir. Puis, pour vous aussi, pourquoi vous en faites du power violence? Pourquoi c'est ce style-là en tant que tel, dans le sens, comme je dis, message?
Pour moi, la façon que je décris power violence dans le comme umbrella de punk, du moins la façon que je l'ai appris, power violence, c'est le côté, c'est le côté punk de ce que grindcore est pour le metal.
Right, for me, the same.
Et ça, c'est vrai pour la petite différence en musique, mais c'est aussi vrai pour l'engagement. Donc, où ce que le grindcore, souvent, ça va être, ça va être aussi politique que le metal peut l'être, là, mais, ou aussi peu politique que le metal peut l'être. Mais je pense que power violence, pour nous, du moins, et pour beaucoup de monde, ça implique beaucoup plus. Ça implique qu'est-ce que... what we care about.
Puis, en français, parce que je vais répondre, on va varier un petit peu là-dessus, ça va permettre aussi déjà de pas nécessairement l'expliquer en anglais pour rien, mais vraiment musical, quelqu'un va entendre ça, c'est de la musique rapide, lente, ça varge, c'est quoi le tuning,
pour moi, c'est...
ça ressemble à quoi, un petit peu juste pour qu'il y ait un...
C'est, pour... encore pour moi, c'est vraiment rapide, mais avec beaucoup de changements, des tunes vraiment pas longues, normalement, même quand on fait des tunes pas mal longues pour du power violence, they break down, mais surtout blast beats, D-beats, D-beats, blast beats, breakdown, blast beat, D-beats. That's all we do. so fait, quand on, when we're looking for a drummer, it's just like, how's your D-beat?
Puis avant que laisse continuer les amis, dans l'application un peu pour toi, puis je te laisse, t'écris-tu des paroles?
Non.
Non, non, mais y a-tu des paroles, ouais? I know some part of Alice Benz doesn't bother to write the lyrics because, you know, the vocal is only an instrument at that point. At that point, it's another sound in the mix.
The caveman vocals. No, we do write our lyrics, and specifically Jack is writing most, if not all of...
Okay, that's answer 98%
of the lyrics, yeah. So that's, I think, my answer for that.
We have a song now that you've written too.
Yeah, that's the 2%.
Yeah, I think so. Power Violence, yeah, is like if you have like a crescent, and this side is punk, and then this side is metal, where they almost kiss at the top is like Power Violence and grindcore. And I read an interview or an article a long time ago that said like grindcore is the sound of like the world collapsing under late capitalism, and Power Violence is the sound of like the people screaming about it, about being crushed under that weight.
That's a metal metaphor,
right?
No, it's punk.
Strictly speaking, it's actually punk. And I like, we were like, oh yeah, that's like all of the songs that we write are like coming from the experience of being people that are crushed under the weight of capitalism, crushed under the weight of homophobia, crushed under the weight of transphobia, and are like screaming out about it. So that made sense for me, for us to put our band there.
Before I talk, she used,
you got it.
Neon News, Jack, I just used them there.
Yeah.
Neon use umbrella, use crescent. Which shape you would use? My joke was good at the beginning, but with that, I just...
No, it's still good. I'm dumber than that. It's like single kick or double kick. And I can't play double kick, so...
This is great.
Double kick is not allowed in Jetsam.
No. Why?
Because that's metal and we're punk.
Double kick, double the abuse. See.
No.
Well, you gotta.
You can't do it with a single. You can't do it.
You gotta single kick real fast.
In that kind of music, for some people who don't know or you wonder why, or I would translate in French after that. I don't know why. So talk to me to just switch the language. But what is the process to create a song?
For us. Usually it's gonna be now like Evelyn and I are gonna be jamming some riffs, often starting with either like one of us or Jack being like, I really like this riff from this band, can we get like that mood kind of in there, and then we'll jam some stuff. I want to do a song that sounds a bit more like Dillinger Escape Plan, but make it Power Violence or like, you know, any kind of simple conversation like that. And then we just go. And then Jack sits down. Jack s'assoit dans un coin avec un laptop et 5 livres d'ouvert avec plein de pages qui sont gardées, puis genre 28 tabs.
Des livres de musique, des livres de...
Non, je parle des livres de anarchisme, des livres de politique, de poésie, etc. Puis c'est beaucoup de références à des quotes, des citations. Donc Jack, du moins de la façon que je le vois, une approche vraiment académique ou plutôt libraire, là,
oui,
comme
oui,
librarian approche à écrire la musique, puis Jack va comme, I want this song to be about prison abolition, for example. Puis du coup, c'est ce feeling-là qu'on va essayer d'aller chercher. Ça se passe tout un petit peu en même temps, mais pas nécessairement en même temps, mais tu sais, on jump d'un à l'autre pour créer quelque chose qui fait du sens émotionnellement et techniquement.
Ouais. Are you guys really based on music theory? Like,
oh no,
you don't write any partitions. You just
no.
You record it and okay, we're
That's why we're punk and not metal.
Yeah. No, but like, there's a lot of metal bands or punk bands or in a lot of music styles. People write every partition or don't. There's no like in between, you know? It's either you write everything or you don't write shit, and that's cool.
Yeah, for us it'll be like, we'll be at band practice and Evelyn will play something on the drum or Neon will play something on the bass and the rest of us will be like, oh, that was sick, do that four times and then do something else. And then we'll sit back and be like, okay, what does this like sound like? Does it sound like desolate or angry or hopeful? Or, and then, you know, if it sounds like a little hopeful, then we'll choose what the lyrical content might be about that. And then I go away and I read 10 books and 30 web pages, and then I pick out what I want to say. Or like, I'll just have things written in like old diaries that I'll pull out and make into lyrics.
I was asking a question about how about you read or not, but because you're punks, maybe you don't read at all and just talk every book you saw and just take but so is the book reading is like something important to you since you know in your life? Do you read a lot of books? You talk about anarchism. So why I ask the question, because Neon just was going like, maybe name something, some band, some writers. And I find out I read some books sometimes, so mm-hmm. I'm just curious to see what is the kind of reading you read.
I had no friends when I was a kid, so all I did was read books.
The same.
Yeah. And now I don't like to leave my house. I just like to stay at home and read books. But I mostly read like sci-fi and speculative fiction. But I started buying anarchist zines when I was young, because I went into a bookstore that had one that had swords on the front and I thought that looked cool, and I bought it and I read it, and then it convinced me that I was an anarchist, and I've just been collecting like zines and anarchist stuff like since then. But I would say I mostly read science fiction.
Yeah, for myself, pour moi, c'est vraiment tombé sur un livre de Emma Goldman. C'est passé de d'écouter du Crass, devenir radicalisé avec ça, après lire Emma Goldman. Puis
c'est pas les livres qui t'ont radicalisé, c'est vraiment en étant radicalisé, tu sais, j'avais commencé à lire les trucs que je...
Ouais. J'avais des amis.
Oh, you know? You have something to say about that? You don't read at all?
I have had moments in my life where I've read, but I've had a series of concussions, so reading is very difficult for me now. But I do like audiobooks when I can find them.
Sorry to interrupt you into that, but you found out to play drums with concussion like that? No, but you know, all the stuff happening, you know.
In a power violence band.
It's odd, because it's like, it affects things that I wouldn't, that people might not expect, and then for other, like... Because it doesn't feel like it bothers me on the drums.
Okay.
Although there was one that I had, the last one I had in 2018, it felt like I couldn't play the same for a minute.
And the light doesn't bother you at all?
The lights bother me. Okay. Yeah, like here I'm just like, whoa. Okay,
Downstairs this. You can do it, you know, with your big flash like this.
Yeah, or screens hard. I have a hard time with, so I have to. And then there's parts of my life where I just have to use screen. Like one of the things I do is I'm a recording engineer. So like doing that on the computer, I have to like really fade the light down and just be careful about, how much, I don't know.
Are you a recording engineer?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good thing for the band.
Well, it could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be. Hey, take notes.
Well, you know, sometimes it's kind of funny to like record the band that you're in. It's like a lot of hats to put on.
Yeah.
But I'd definitely be willing to try.
Yeah, I know what you said. I talked to another band to say all the guy in the band are music engineer, all that stuff, but okay, they don't want to do it herself because the all the work spring.
It's a lot of hats to put on,
and
right?
You don't want to be overwhelmed with the band and just say, I don't want to leave the band because there's too much of that.
A lot of hassle too, you know?
Yeah.
I just see a lot of shows when where the drummer or the guitarist or the main vocalist does the sound as the show goes on.
Yeah, totally.
And that's a fucking mess.
It's a lot. It's like, just get someone to help. Like,
yeah,
of course. Ask for help.
Yeah.
Ask your friends for help.
We give one. Take it.
Yeah.
You talk a lot. En fait, vous parlez beaucoup. On parle radicalisme, on parle anarchie, on parle d'engagement. Je pense, pour venir à Jet Sam. Jet Sam, c'est un groupe engagé.
Ouais. On est un band. On est un band anarchiste. On est tout trans. Et on n'est pas calme. We're not chill.
Puis, c'est quoi l'anarchisme pour vous? Sachant qu'il y a beaucoup de gens, il y a plusieurs écoles de pensée dans l'anarchisme, puis il y a plusieurs, puis chaque personne va l'interpréter d'une façon différente. Pour vous, ça ressemble à quoi?
Someone want to go first on what anarchism is? For you, I mean?
I guess for me, anarchism is... it's like a way of thinking about the world and a way of relating to other people that tries to defy hierarchy and tries to diffuse power so that no one has power over someone else and no one puts themselves above anyone else. And so, like, we relate to the world where everyone is our equal, everyone is as deserving of, you know, freedom and love and peace and the right to their own feelings and the right to their own expression. And to like a living, a way of living that feels good and meaningful to them. And so everything about anarchism for me is like trying to break down hierarchies and break down sort of like barriers between people and break down structures and systems of power.
That's a beautiful definition. I like it.
Thanks.
Pour moi, c'est la même chose. Like, it's the same. Like, this is a really good description of how I feel about it. La principale chose que je rajouterais, c'est que souvent, les gens, quand ils posent des questions à propos de c'est quoi l'anarchisme pour toi, ils vont commencer à parler aussi moins, mais comment ça fonctionne, s'il n'y a pas de police, blablabla. That's not really where I am. Like, pour moi, l'anarchisme, c'est quelque chose de très personnel. Je veux travailler pour être une personne qui est anarchiste, pour traiter les gens comme une personne qui est anarchiste, ce qui veut dire avec le plus d'empathie possible, le plus de dignité possible. Et je pense que plus qu'on travaille à créer une communauté qui est comme ça, plus que dans notre communauté, on arrive à avoir ces goals-là. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get bogged down. C'est tellement dur de parler de quoi que ce soit, de plus grand, de changer de gouvernement, de tout ça, quand ça fait des centaines et des milliers d'années qu'on vit dans une certaine structure qui nous a été imposée et qu'on n'a aucune façon d'imaginer quelque chose d'autre. Fait que ça, pour moi, ça commence...
It's more than a way of life than hand gold.
C'est ça. Pour moi, ça commence au personnel, puis il faut commencer à essayer de penser... de façon qu'on pense pas, que les gens pensent pas normalement et qu'on se fait forcer de pas penser dès le début. Ça, c'est pour moi.
Now, I just might be a concussed power violence drummer.
I like the answer.
But yeah, I guess for me, anarchy is like you're trying to participate in creating containers for people to step into their authority and their agency, while being prepared to have to justify whatever authority you might be taking in a situation. Like, as opposed to like abolishing all authority, it's more for me like you're stepping into your agency and trying to like look for spots to step in where you have keys and use your keys, while also like looking for the first exit so that you can pass the thing on to somebody else, or to the other people that might be able to justify their authority more. Like, I feel like we're living this version of the world where people who take authority don't have to justify it. And have little justification for like what they're doing and why they're taking. So, because I feel like sometimes when someone who's on the outside of our like peer groups might hear the word anarchy, they're like, oh, like chaos. Sounds like chaos, like, you know, but really like people see it all the time where they're like belittled for their expertise on something, or like somebody who's making a decision that affects people that aren't them are making it, like, you know. So for me, anarchy is that it's like trying to really create these containers where we accept that all the knowledge is in the room, and we're trying to make space for people who might have the better idea in a certain scenario, might have a better understanding of who's being affected and can justify their authority over that situation, like can actually be the ones, you know. And that it's a collaborative process. And the whole, like, take the first exit thing, which I think is a thing that a lot of people have a hard time with and could be better at, such as now.
That just made me think of, like, one other anecdote, which is, like, the first time that I think I really understood what anarchism is in practice was doing disaster relief after the flood in Calgary in 2016, I think.
Flooded Calgary, does it was Bow River?
Yeah, the Bow River overflowed and it drowned all of downtown. But it also hit the First Nations reservations outside of Calgary really, really, really badly. And so they were, you know, folks were asking for people to come out and help do disaster relief out there. And some of the older anarchists that lived in my neighborhood were like, they were like, okay, we're going to take these people out with us, because these are people that don't need to be told what to do. They're people who can show up and look around and see what needs to be done and just do that. But then, you know, are also not going to be trying to take the authority and tell anybody else what needs to be done. So it's that, it's like being able to go into a space, look around, see what needs to be done, who needs to be helped, without somebody providing that external authority and telling you what you need to do.
In his Ivory Tower.
Yeah. But then also being able to listen to everybody else around you and not be trying to impose what you think needs to be done on anyone else either. And that was really instructive for me.
Yeah, it's I found out that you're, you know, what you're speaking right now is more and more and more than, you know, important right now in your life and what's happening in the world right now. So, because there's a lot of people lack of empathy and, you know, just communication. Speak with each other. You know, people are not so bad. It's not so, you know, we want all the same thing. You know, a house, food, and just be happy.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice conversation with that. But I'm not sure. You know, I don't want to go there because we go like for 1 hour or two just speaking about that. I really like that subject.
Of anarchy, like the whole fucking podcast.
Also, blast beats.
Yeah. But blast me. But you know, you just inspire me on the question, and I will switch French avec Nanny on right now. Mais c'est quoi les moyens pour un groupe de musique de pouvoir prendre un rôle militant là-dedans, défendre des causes? Tu sais, les gens vont dire ah, ben, un groupe de musique, ça sert à quoi de faire ça? Un peu pour vous. C'est quoi, tu sais, pourquoi la musique pourrait être un bon moyen de véhiculer ça? Qu'est-ce que ça apporte? Comment vous le faites? Puis c'est quoi les manières un groupe qui peut être politisé comme ça utilise pour faire passer leur message? You have to translate this question maybe for the other.
Je vais répondre, puis je pense que ça va donner du contexte. And if I have to, I can translate anything. But pour nous, je pense que c'est généralement... C'est pas une question de pour nous, comment le faire... Est-ce qu'on devrait le faire? Il n'y a pas de façon pour nous d'exister dans notre scène et dans notre communauté sans être militante, sans être activiste, parce que c'est juste c'est ça qu'on est. Et la musique, ça a tout le temps été... Ben, l'art, généralement, ça a tout le temps été politique. Les gens vont souvent dire, « OK, mais remove the artist from the art. Well, » like, not really. Like, la musique, ça a tout le temps été... Ça a tout le temps été politique, ça a tout le temps été un outil utilisé pour ça. Ça peut être utilisé de mauvaise façon, c'est sûr, mais en ce moment, je pense que c'est... Pour moi, c'est dur de concevoir d'être quelqu'un qui a une plateforme, que ce soit un band ou des films ou quoi que ce soit, et de rien dire sur la Palestine. Si tu vas sur un stage à chaque quelques mois, à chaque quelques semaines, et que tu parles pas d'un génocide qui arrive dans le monde, something is not like, il y a quelque chose qui fonctionne pas. Il faut, j'arrive pas à dire comme comment.
Use your platform to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm. J'arrive pas à dire qu'est-ce qu'il faut pour le faire. Je comprends pas qu'est-ce qu'on fait pour pas le faire. Je comprends pas comment un band peut juste aller sur un stage à chaque semaine, aller en tournée et rien dire sur les choses importantes qui se passent en ce moment. On se demande pas la question comment. Ces temps-ci, ou en fait depuis qu'on a commencé le band, là, c'est plus ok, quel sujet dans cette pile de shit, de choses qui se passent en ce moment, est-ce qu'on a le temps de, comme, de parler aujourd'hui? Yeah, so like the question being like, how and why do we bring activism in music, and what's a good way of using those platforms and such?
Yeah, I think, so growing up being like a weird, lonely kid that got picked on a lot, music was like books were my escape, but music was my release.
Just like playing music too young, or
no, not at all. Okay, like okay. This is really like listening more or less my first band.
Okay.
But like I remember getting Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park when I was like 10 or 11 years old, like when it came out.
Finally, a band that I know.
Yes.
And you know, at that age, like you hate your parents. Everybody's mean to you. Like everything is awful. You're full of angst and anger all the time. And listening to Linkin Park, I was like, oh shit, like they get it. Like this is how I feel. And then, but like as I got older and like got to be part of the world more, I think there's nothing more disappointing than this music that you bond so much with from the heart, because it validates your emotions and makes you feel like you belong in the world. And like, sometimes when you don't want to be in the world anymore, you hear it and you're like, oh, there are people like me. It's worth sticking around because I can become parts of these communities. And then you find out in some cases that like the people that made that music, and this is not the case with Linkin Park, but like other bands, you find out that the people that made the music never really felt that way. Like it was just a gimmick. They're putting on anger and putting on sadness because it sells. And that rings so hollow. It's like there are so many things to be mad about in the world. There's so many things to be sad about. It just doesn't make sense to me to like make music that is angry or sad or expresses an emotion and not tie that to the world
to a real reason,
in some
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And so like I'm a person, like I have too many feelings. So if I'm going to express those feelings, like, I want to express them specifically. I want to say exactly what they're about. So if I'm pissed off about something, I want to say what I'm pissed off about. And it's still like one of my biggest pet peeves to have a band get up on stage and just perform anger and toughness. And then there's nothing behind it. Like, what are you so fucking mad about? Tell me what you're mad about.
Yeah, I have so many examples in my head that coming out.
There is a fucking lot
yeah.
of people that made music without any background to it.
Well, that made me, I was holding that for, you know, for some minutes because before Evelyn go on, I found out and I'm kind of curious to know your, you know, what you think about that. But growing up, I just find out that, you know, everything that's put in the sphere in punk music, there's a lot of people that just want to be that kind of music, be popular and be on stage and be on big screen. But that's not the matter of that. The matter of that is be part of the society, another part of society, you know, be the, you know, the black sheep. So if you want to be so bad, the black sheep, and you want to be, you know, because you are activist, something like this, don't expect to be popular. You don't want to be the guy usual, the people or the person you want to be, don't want to be the you know, the band that you just screaming about mm-hmm. at the end.
The worst thing for a band to do, I think, is to try very hard to relate to others. Mm-hmm. Like, it's supposed to be about yourself, and then people, like, they can find themselves in your music.
Just as, like, also, comme une note pour ajouter sur ça, Pour nous, à chaque fin de show, il y a plein de gens qui viennent nous voir, qui nous disent, oh man, it's so nice to have a band who's political again, who like reacts to things that are happening. Fait que pour nous, c'est l'opposé d'être le black sheep. On n'est pas un band que... C'est rare que quelqu'un qui est comme, oh, vous êtes trop politique. Ça l'arrive, là.
Bon, mais... bon, ben moi, j'ai plus ça dans le sens que, tu sais, on aspire à être hommage à la société dans, comme groupe de musique pour défendre des choses, défendre des causes qui font en sorte que les médias mainstream, les trucs comme ça, ne veulent pas nécessairement nous passer. Faut pas aspirer à l'être et aller sur ces plateformes-là. Mm-hmm. Tu sais, je veux dire, parce que fondamentalement, on veut être des gens qui veulent dénoncer des choses, qui veulent être comme vrais envers soi-même. Puis c'est ça le discours que dans les groupes de musique qui crient très fort, mais qui défendent rien. Ben, en même temps, c'est ces groupes-là qui font ça, tu sais.
Si vous voulez partir dans un band, puis vous êtes politique, si la musique est bonne, like, if the music's good, and the music is fast, and it goes hard, and you have important things to say, people will love it. Like, it works.
You have something to say about that?
A little bit, I guess.
Let's go.
Well, and it's funny because it feels like we haven't known each other long enough to like dig into it. So now we're like doing it in front of an audience.
You're saying all this.
I might not be on the next gig.
Yeah.
Wow, we'll it's perfect. See.
It's like, actually, I'm a centrist. I'm reading Atlas Shrugged right now.
Another one.
Yeah, I guess for me, music is ritual, like baseline. It's ritual. It's this thing that is like a collective space of some type of like facilitated shared experience. So I feel like there's some responsibility there. In one end, it might be, yeah, trying to point more to some political things. On another end, it's like not over exaggerating how much activism you're doing, because I feel like it's also knowing what the actual space you're operating in is, who's there, how the message might come across. Because there might be a case that one of these bigger bands, when they make a political statement, because we were just saying it's not about getting big in front of a lot of people and whatever, but actually some of those bands could make more impact with the audience that they have.
The best example for me is like Tape on Death, when they take stance for the guy, the Australian guy with air in traffic, something like that in Singapore. I don't know. Just trying to find some highs that know the story.
And there could be countless examples of when people try to do this, or most of the examples where people don't use that platform at all, because there's some other, you know. While at the same time, like the activist anarcho crust band that's playing to four of their friends and selling the anarchy patches, is that activism? I'm not quite sure how much material change is that. So I feel like, but at the same time, that doesn't mean don't do it. It's just like kind of knowing where it's affecting, and not getting over elated about what we're actually doing. While at the same time, it's like music is an important ritual. It's not casual. Like, people are impacted by it. So like, use it responsibly and like try to explore what other people have used music, because before it was entertainment, it was like there were songs to sing when a child was born, when someone died, when there was an enemy coming, when there was something to defend, like when there needed to be a collective grieving process. Like, it really is this old technology of like nervous systems aligning with each other. And, you know, there's a reason. I know this doesn't happen in Quebec, but I grew up in Ontario, where they make you sing O Canada every morning. Oh, there's a reason they do that.
Yeah.
And it's not because O Canada is a good song.
No,
like,
yeah.
It's a technique of, you know, synchronizing people and presenting a certain... And so all music is political in that way.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that even the people that doing that to the children...
Yeah.
They don't realize.
No, they realize.
They really think they...
No. They realize what they're doing. But they know what they're doing is a thing.
You think? Yeah.
Oh, I think they are... Well, if you've ever looked on the Army website, they hire, not only do they hire soldiers, they hire musicians. They also hire priests.
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing. Like, it's a type of ritual that is very, like, it's a technology that's very effective.
I don't say that people, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, I say that, you know, teacher that doing that.
Yeah,
I
think the
teacher
is like real
lot. Does the teacher know? Does the principal know? But definitely
someone else.
Somebody else knows.
And there's a reason they would get in trouble for not being like, oh, my class doesn't have to do it. It's like, you know, there's pressure from above.
Music is fucking used for everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, hey.
Yeah, the inauguration.
Example. Yeah.
So much music. Up,
my. Okay, I remember that song.
Right on that. Don't sing it.
I remember.
We were going to get,
free publicity. You know, I remember that song since I'm fucking 5 years old.
Totally.
I still want to fucking yup. It tastes yeah. good, you know.
I see the time fly by.
Yeah.
Before I'm going next section with Ivanoe, I have two things to say to you. First, come back here to play next 6 months.
Anytime.
I want you on the, you know, the show to speak another time because the conversation is really nice and I feel bad to stop it right the right now. So, you know, so strict.
Take the first exit.
But yeah, but before that, my last thing with before going the next section is what's up next for the band? What is the goal for like in the next 2 years? What is, you know, for people following Jet Sam and people not following Jet Sam, what to expect next?
I think our number one priority is to start writing new music, which we have already started. So we want to write more songs. We want to put out another split with our friends who are in Object of Loathing. Then we want to put out a full length. And then we want to tour with our friends Gumo in Europe.
Nice. What? C'est ça, ça fait assez longtemps qu'on est sur le même matériel. On a eu des changements, surtout dans le jeu de drummer. Pas pour des mauvaises raisons, juste tout le temps.
Non, ça arrive, ouais.
C'est compliqué, les bands. C'est une grosse famille. On a du nouveau matériel. On joue ce soir ici. On joue demain à Montréal. C'est la dernière fois qu'on joue ce set-là. On est en train de travailler sur du nouveau matériel. Puis on est vraiment de les jouer.
Puis, juste pour dire aux gens, qu'on oublie avant la fin, Jet Sam, c'est un peu politisé, ils sont pas sur des grosses plateformes. Si vous voulez réécouter leur stuff, Bandcamp, pas mal Bandcamp. À ce place, je pense, on peut trouver vos trucs.
Like a few other places that you can...
So we're on Bandcamp. We're on a site that is hosted on a platform called Faircamp.
Okay.
That's meant to be like a non-corporate, like, non... Yeah, like a person-owned
yeah.
version of Bandcamp. Our site with that is likeweeds.org. So likeweeds.org.
Yeah, put in the description. Just write to me on the messenger.
And then we're also on Merlo, which is another like non-corporate version of Bandcamp.
Until they buy out by someone with a lot of cash.
Ouais, c'est ça. Yeah. C'est ça. On est sur Bandcamp. On est sur Like Weed, c'est gratuit.
And
sur Bandcamp, c'est pas gratuit.
If people email us, we'll email them our music.
I saw that on your Bandcamp. If you don't have any money, email us. We're going to send it to you.
Wow. Yeah. That's nice. That's a good way to speak with your people, too.
Yeah, very, very.
Yeah, and nice. People do email us. Like, some people are just like, hey, I'm fucking broke. I'm in Germany. Can I... Like, les gens nous demandent aussi de leur envoyer comme les designs de nos t-shirts, etc., pour qu'ils puissent le faire DIY.
Ah ouais.
C'est tellement comme si tu veux écouter notre musique, on est juste comme flattered. Like.
C'est gratuit. Cool. C'est très gratuit.
Vraiment.
Bon.
So we interrupt you. So it's all the place we can listening the music.
Come to the gigs and buy the merch.
That's a big.
make bootleg tapes.
Yeah. Bootleg is nice. Yeah, you have to do that more.
They're just going to be live recordings from an iPhone stuck to the ceiling.
You know? Small 3 minutes break for, you know, bathroom or something else. And after that, the other section, then we could go downstairs for the show.
Great. Sounds great.
I hope you guys are ready.
Oh, yeah.
On vous arrête en plein milieu de l'épisode pour remercier nos partenaires. Le Butin Festif 2339 rue Royale. Allez manger là, c'est absolument exquis. Le Café Bar Zenob ouvert 7 jours semaine jusqu'à 3h du matin. Vinilia pour ce magnifique local et la Maison Vaudeville qui nous enregistre. Allez les liker partout.
OK. Les questions qu'on ne se pose pas, partie genre 17. Are you guys ready?
Let's go. Oh.
Did you guys have a great time?
Yes.
First part was awesome.
Yeah.
First question. What is the best name for a pet?
Jacob.
Sebastian.
Lars Ulrich.
You win.
Yeah.
What is your favorite kind of chips? Mine is Doritos, of course.
Salt and vinegar.
All dressed.
Miss Vicky's jalapeno.
Oh, shit. OG.
Vegan.
That's two for you.
Imagine if you had $100K to invest in any businesses, which one would they be and why? Oh,
God. Watch out for your answer, your anarchist, man.
$100K. I don't know.
We're anti-capitalist. Someone
answer a Porsche or a Ferrari, you know, sell out.
We're anti-capitalists.
Pay all of our friends' rent. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the answer.
That's the answer for all of you.
Lars Ulrich.
Hunger Games for the landlords.
Buy a new gold like piscine for Lars Ulrich.
My pet.
Imagine if you could live in any country and have a fulfilling life. Like, your rent is always paid. You have unlimited food. Which country would it be and why?
It would be sick if it was here.
Death to all nations.
Just a warm place, though. Yeah.
Fuck a country, man.
Fuck a country, yeah.
A place in the world. Like, it doesn't have to be an institution, tabarnak.
You didn't.
Can we... wait, you mean... Are you saying we'd have to pay rent if we lived here?
What?
In the, like, can we live here?
Yeah.
Are there cops? Okay. Mars, I think, is where... Mars.
Yeah.
Start over in Mars. Yeah. Would you rather have no hands or no feet?
No feet.
No feet.
I can't answer that. I'm sorry.
But... No double pedal, she said.
Yeah.
So you can play with one feet and one hand.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
So I guess the answer is right for that.
Would you rather have no eyes or no ears?
No eyes.
No eyes.
No eyes, so I can still listen to Saint Anger.
Good answer.
Three for Evelyn.
Yeah.
Imagine imagine if you could remove a bad habit that you do every day. What would you never do again?
Spend money.
Answering questions as quickly as possible.
Social media.
That's a good one.
That's great. That's great.
Listening to Saint Anger.
By Natalia. It's your most toxic trait.
Imagine if you had a tree that could grow absolutely anything in the world. What would it be growing?
Money.
All right, that's a lame ass answer.
Food for my community.
Third reissue of Saint Anger on CD.
Come on. Come on.
Four for Evelyn.
Okay, now more deep questions. Do you think there's life other than us somewhere in the universe?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where? I'm trying to find it.
Your anus.
Oh. I know.
I'm sorry.
Do any of you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
Do you have short, great, spooky story?
No.
Oh, no?
I don't have a short one. I have many long ones.
Living in Canada.
Okay, for this one...
I grew up in a house with haunted clown dolls.
Haunted clown dolls?
Yeah.
This shit is Annabelle.
They moved around the house by themselves.
That's the short
that's
story.
That's the short story.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's a great follow-up to another one of my questions. If your life was a movie, what would be the title?
Fuck it all and fucking no regrets.
Frantic TikTok.
Yeah, oh my God.
Some kind of monster.
Yeah. Some kind of monster too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Final answer.
The title of the movie. Yeah.
No, sorry. It's
Yeah. With an R at the end. Okay, for the next one, I'm going to have a little definition. Jetsam, noun, unwanted materials or good that have been thrown overboard from a ship and washed ashore, especially material that have been discarded to lighten the ship. Imagine, if you were on a ship and it's too heavy, what would be the first thing you threw overboard?
Landlords.
Bosses.
Cops.
That was so fucking fast. That was so fucking fast.
Like a gunslinger.
Hey. Even the techs are laughing.
Yeah, the techs are laughing really hard right now.
Do you practice any sports? If yes, which one do you hate the most?
I hate them all equally.
Oh, really? Like, not even one. Hey, it's good to be in, to do some activity.
I think that organized sports are like a scourge on society. No, I will not elaborate.
The one that I hate the most that I don't participate in is golf.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
Totally agree.
I hate that one more than all the others.
You tried it with weed. It's better.
No.
You should. What about you, Emily?
I would also agree golf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think curling is most obviously the most supreme sport
really?
Of all time. Yeah.
That's that makes one, sense. I played a lot of curling and I fucking hate it.
You know, curling tweets is kind of the
tweets around.
Winter golf style sports. Just throw the ball at the hole.
With no, less waste of space.
And water.
And water, yeah.
And land.
Yeah, water would make the ice.
It's just, it's not the same as I just tried to make a joke. Golf course.
Glow in the dark mini putt is way cooler.
Yes. 1,000%.
I just tried to make a joke. Sorry. I just
We don't joke here. We're very serious.
Yeah.
Clearly all very serious.
Yeah. Now, one part of Power Violence there understood, so.
We're not a grindcore band.
What is your favorite thing to eat in the whole universe?
Food.
Roti.
Peanut butter. That's not funny. It's serious.
Which food do you hate the most?
Onions. No, raw tomatoes.
Okay. That's understandable.
What food do I hate the most?
I should know that because we're married.
You guys are fucking married?
Yeah.
I know, it's
well,
gross.
Kind of. Not legally, because fuck that.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Thanks. I can't think of anything.
No?
No. Oh, black licorice. It's not great.
Yeah.
Understandable, too.
Yeah.
What about you?
Trying to think. Well, I'm allergic to mustard seed. So anything with mustard.
So, yeah, dying will kill like me. The thing you hate the most.
Yeah, so if they get a new drummer, check to see if there's mustard in my system.
Imagine comment. If you could live in any fictional universe in the whole wide world. In the whole wide world, that doesn't... Imagine if you could live in any fictional universe. A movie, a book, a video game. Which one would it be?
Blade Runner.
Oh, that's cool.
That would suck.
Yeah, but the great music.
It's good aesthetics.
Great aesthetic.
Yeah.
I have a sick band. I would be a robot.
I don't have an answer.
I would be in the Matrix.
Oh shit. Good
but answer. Like I would be unplugged from the Matrix.
Uh-huh.
Be hanging with the people who are unplugged from the Matrix.
I think for Jack, just any place with dragons and swords.
I do like dragons and swords.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hot girls with swords.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda. No?
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Everything else, I was like, everything else that I can think is a dystopia. And if I can put myself in any universe, I'm not going to put myself in a dystopia. It's
probably the best thing is not our society.
Yeah.
What is, and you can elaborate on this one. What is the weirdest thing that happened during a show? Not for, not while you were playing, mm-hmm. not with Jet Sam, like in your whole life.
We played a show here like last year, and in the middle of the band that played after us, we could like hear this sound that wasn't the percussion of the drums, and everyone was looking around the room being like, what the fuck is that sound? And then we all looked to the doorway and there was a guy with another guy on the ground just like, and yeah, so there was like a big fist fight in the middle of a show. And
yeah, and then a guy was punching you and then I put him in a chokehold.
Yeah, yeah. That's a long story, man.
Yeah. Oh,
but that's the short version. For me, otherwise, I think is going to see Kitty and the Agonists and another band at Foof's. And I thought I was going to, you know, just a metal show that is kind of soft and it's going to be chill. And I was just dancing a little bit. Some guy punched me in the face. So that was like getting punched in the face at the Kitty show. Very special moment.
Hey. The band name is Kitty. Not that soft.
I mean, I you know, I grew up with them. I love them. Was not expecting that would be the show where I would get beaten up.
Understandable.
Yeah.
I was playing bass for this songwriter called Wax Mannequin, and we were playing a show in Windsor, Ontario. And I'm trying to say it really fast because there's a lot of details, but I was outside smoking.
Take your time.
And there was a guy with a samurai sword, and he was running around, and we're like, what the hell is that guy doing with a samurai sword? And then he disappeared into the alley, and then we thought nothing of it, but we were kind of confused. And then after the band's next set, we came outside for another smoke, and this huge Humvee that with tinted windows comes by, and we're like, what the fuck is going on with this? And then the window came down, and it was a Humvee full of SWAT cops, and they were like, hey guys, did you see anyone with a samurai sword running around here? And I stared them blank in the face and said, no. And then they left.
You probably saved the world, like in Terminator, like kid.
Just it like, was probably like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to rat him out. He didn't seem like he was hurting anyone.
Just want to be sure. It was not in Quebec City.
No,
like
no,
a whole week ago.
It was in Windsor, Ontario.
Okay.
At the
just
Fog
to be
Lounge.
Sure.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I don't want you to be, you know, put in some cop story that will just came to arrest you because you got a fight with him.
How soon was that after The Matrix came out?
When you didn't rat him out, maybe he moved to Quebec. If you don't know, like, there was a guy with a samurai sword.
Oh,
killed, like,
my God.
People.
Okay, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, my God.
That,
oh my God. I hope that wasn't. So, I hope. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't me.
What, the podcast is going to go live? People are going to be banging on your door. What the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
Last question. How do you think the show tonight is going to go? Expectations.
Less fight than last time. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, one or fewer fights, and Claiborne is going to be incredible because they always are, and we're going to have a really fun time because we always do.
Yeah. What about you? Your second show with the band.
It's my second show with the band, and it's my first time here, so I'm just excited to play and get loud and get rowdy and have fun.
Honestly, we're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Aww. Warms my heart. Hey, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was fucking awesome. Francis, word of dernier mot?
Just say thank you to you. Just come back, see us, and make another episode with us. I expect you, you know, I wish you all the best. Let's enjoy the show. Let's enjoy Claiborne.
We have, yeah.
You know, intro to do anyway after that. So just, yeah, enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time and everything. And thanks to people watching. So, yes, enjoy the show. Thanks.
You and you and you, you. And you.
Pitoua. Pitoua.
Especially not you. Yes, you.
Don't look at me.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.